Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Elon Musk is now the largest shareholder of Twitter. What does this mean? We dive deep into this and look at it from every possible angle. Very important news item that benefits our country and our right to free speech. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by taking out your podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribing in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter on the front lines where it matters most, tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. You guys can come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit at tpusa.com/YWLS or our Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. You can join us on tour, tpusa.com/tour. Berkeley, Boulder, Fullerton, and Milwaukee all coming up. And if you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. Thank you for those of you that generously get behind the work we do. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. So I want to lead today with a question, which is, how should elites treat their country? How should the people in charge of their country, in the economic elites or in cultural institutions or in the movies or in any form of power, how should they treat their country? Well, 100 years ago, Carnegie, Mellon, and Chase, they were some of the wealthiest people ever in the history of the planet. Now, there is no doubt that they were powerful and that they had wealth, but they used that wealth largely to try and preserve America, build hospitals, libraries, build YMCAs, build things that actually helped the well-being of the nation. They wanted a strong America. Now, over the last couple years, a common lament from this program has been the fact that the people who are in charge of our country, the wealthiest people, are involved in this pattern of self-hatred. They're engaged in this relentless pattern of not doing what's best for the country, of engaging in ideas for the World Economic Forum, the suppression of free speech, woke ideology, the suffocation of the individual. We have talked about how people like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and George Soros and the Google people and the Louis Vuitton guy, they seem to be so fixated on using their unlimited wealth to do things that actually hurt the cause of liberty, not help the cause of liberty, that hurt the strength of America and weaken America. This has seemed to be almost overwhelming, especially the last couple of years. We've been complaining about how AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna, they cooperate with Fauci and the FDA and Bill Gates, and it seems like the elites have it all figured out, that they always have each other's back, and basically the only thing that we have left is the truth, which matters, and common everyday people fighting for that. We felt outnumbered, and for good reason. We turn around and we say, why is it that the people that are worth $100 billion are so concerned about crushing the plumber in Marshallton, Iowa? Now, in the last 24 hours, this has now changed. There has been a seismic shift in how the elites, or let me say an elite, engages and treats his country. Free speech is essential towards any country that wants to embrace economic freedom or private property. If you do not have freedom of speech, then you're not even able to have bad ideas be challenged. Tyranny is not able to be cross-examined if you do not have freedom of dialogue or free expression of ideas. Free speech is the first freedom for a reason. It's because we as human beings are the speaking beings. It's who we are. Dialogue, which means through reason. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That word is logos, our ability to make sense of the world by associating terms or labels or names to certain things. This is a phone. This is a laptop. Only human beings can do that. And for most of human history, the few, the leaders or the elites, are able to silence the many. The founding fathers decided to change all of that. And a lot of our wealth and a lot of our prestige and a lot of our greatness as a country is largely responsible to our ability to have free speech be a fundamental and unquestioned American value. Now, the courts still allow free speech. If you want to go get a poster board and show up in front of a state capitol, no one's going to arrest you. Now, of course, that wasn't the case if you didn't wear your mask correctly during the virus, but that's a separate issue. But instead, the fight for free speech is less whether or not you could take a poster board and go in front of your state capitol, but whether or not you're able to speak freely on the internet, online, and whether or not corporate America will actually allow you to speak freely. The fight for free speech is no longer whether or not you could take a poster board and challenge your leader, which no one will take seriously. It's whether or not you're allowed to say those things where they can spread instantaneously, publicly, and virally. The fight for free speech, of course, has been happening on platforms like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We are still banned from Twitter. It happened a couple weeks ago. Now, I'm not taking credit for anything, obviously, but it was the Babylon Bee, then it was us, then it was Tucker Carlson, which seemed to be part of a movement that broke, that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the final push. As that happened, Twitter decided to ban me and to ban Tucker and to ban the Babylon Bee because of things we did not do wrong, and we refused to press delete. We refused to bend the knee. And this created kind of a revival of interest of people saying, what is Twitter good for anyway? Now, a man who very well had no reason to be interested in this. For example, he had every excuse to kind of just do the Jeff Bezos thing. I'm going to go to space. I'm going to stay on my yacht. What's the big deal anyway? Now, Jeff Bezos is a perfect example of a self-interested, unpatriotic billionaire who gives the minimum amount to charity, who just kind of cares about space exploration and his unlimited power, owning the Washington Post, getting government contracts. He doesn't actually care about the well-being of the country that he lives in. But one elite, in fact, the richest elite, was very disturbed, especially recently, with what Twitter has been doing. So last week, on March 25th, Elon Musk asked his Twitter followers a very simple question, which is, do you think Twitter respects freedom of speech? Do you think that Twitter is a place where speech and ideas can spread freely? He said, quote, free speech is essential to a functioning democracy. Do you believe Twitter rigorously adheres to this principle? 70% of people said no, with 2 million votes on Twitter. He also asked, quote, should the Twitter algorithm be open source? Yes or no? 82% said yes. And he said after this, the consequences of this poll will be important. Please vote carefully. Now, when Elon Musk says that, he's worth $285 billion. Usually makes you take pause. What is he going to do? What's up his sleeve? What is the world's wealthiest man who owns Neuralink and the Boring Company and Tesla? What is Elon Musk going to do? Now, there were a lot of theories floating around, but we no longer have to live in mystery. This morning, the news came out of an elite, the world's wealthiest man who has decided to come into the fight that all of us are engaged in on a day-to-day basis. Play cut one.
Morning movie this morning. Social media stocks on the rise as Twitter is soaring better than 24% earlier. It is up 21% after Tesla CEO Elon Musk disclosed a 9.25% stake in the company, potentially making him the largest shareholder. People on Twitter have been pushing him to buy the company as he's been vocal about some of its recent policies, and in particular censorship.
And he did it. Elon Musk is now the largest shareholder in Twitter. Twitter shares have skyrocketed more than 24% after Elon Musk, the world's wealthiest man, takes a 9% stake in the social media company. And he's doing it for a very specific reason. Elon Musk is mad. He's mad that people can't speak freely on the internet anymore, and he wants to do something about it. Elon is on a crusade to restore freedom of speech. And we're going to get into the significance of this in great detail, because this is more than just a wealthy guy buying a company. No, this has societal, civilizational implications. And dare I say, this is one of the first examples of the people that were always on the top crest of human society coming down into the trenches of what matters most for us as human beings. Hey everybody, towels just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in stores, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, Mike Lindell at MyPillow found out that around 2006, towels changed forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things to the cotton that made them feel good, but they didn't work. He found the best towel company right here in America. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. They are all made with USA cotton, and they come with a MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. It's a six-piece set, two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths, made with USA cotton. They're soft yet absorbent, regularly $109.99, now $39.99. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Enter promo code KIRK. Call 1-800-875-0425 for these great radio specials. That's MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener square, MyPillow.com. We love checks and balances. That's why we love the United States Constitution. And it has felt as if over the last couple of years, there's been no check and balance on the billionaire balance of power. It's felt completely out of whack. I know a lot of you have been watching this and say, there's no way every billionaire believes what Klaus Schwab and what Bezos and what Bill Gates believes. There's no way all of them are on this program. And your gut instinct was right. Is that all it takes is one or two or three to defect from this monolithic way of thinking and then do something about it. And that's a big deal to do something about it. So if you go to the world's wealthiest people, the list of the world's wealthiest people, there isn't a long list of people who could potentially come in and change the game in Twitter, because not only does it take the resources, it takes the willingness, and also you have to be willing to basically upend the entire apple cart of what the regime wants. So Bezos isn't going to do it, obviously. He's too concerned with going to Mars. I think he thinks there's a lower tax rate on Mars or whatever. That's all he really cares about. Zuckerberg isn't going to do it. He's too worried about getting your children addicted to wearing goggles all day long in the metaverse. The Google people aren't going to do it. Larry Page or Sergey Brin, they're retired and too busy skiing or doing whatever they do. And plus, they must protect their own interests at Google, so they can't do a power violation there. The Louis Vuitton guy isn't going to do it. He's bought by the European socialist elite, and he can't upset that entire power dynamic. So you go through the list of people, who is there really to do it? And then the Walton family isn't going to do it, obviously, because way too intertwined with government contracts, really kind of left Elon. And Elon is such an interesting story. And whenever he has a success, he takes a bigger risk. And look, there's plenty I could criticize Elon for, his work in China, some of the crony capitalist deals he's done. But I'll be very honest, and I say this publicly, I have a soft spot for entrepreneurs that are trying to make the world a better place. I do. And I don't think Elon wants to run the world. I think it's a big difference. I think Bill Gates wants to run the world. I don't think Elon does. I think Elon's an inventor. He's an entrepreneur. He's a risk taker. And what you've seen today is one of the most admirable and bold and unexpected developments that I think we have seen in the last couple decades, and dare I say, the last 50 or 60 years, of someone who was in the celebrity-protected Oscar Invitational, front row of the Grammys ruling class, who comes down and says, I want to help you guys. This isn't right. Now, here's an important point. Every noble cause requires a benefactor. The American patriots in the Revolution required the French government to come in with assistance. Even the book of Luke and Acts in the Bible, the first thing that is said in the book of Acts is, Dear Theophilus, who was the underwriter, literally the benefactor that wrote most of the New Testament. In fact, Luke and Acts together is more words than all of Paul's writing in the New Testament. Good causes need benefactors. And for the last couple of years, I have felt, and many others, that we've had some amazing support, but nothing on the size or the scale of Elon. I mean, we have some amazing supporters at Turning Point USA that keep us going and keep us growing. But when we're up against Twitter and Facebook and Google, and we're up against the World Economic Forum, and we're up against Disney, we kind of put our hands up and say, how does one fight? Answer, one defector and one person who decides to upset the billionaire balance of power. And this noble cause, which is the fight for speech, the fight for freedom of expression, the fight for liberty, now all of a sudden the game has changed this morning. And it's changed for a variety of reasons, because this is a rounding error for Elon Musk. What is Elon Musk's net worth as of today? $267 billion. So for all of you keeping score at home, he has now deployed less than 1% of his net worth to take over Twitter. Less than 1% of his net worth is all it took to take over Twitter. And Elon's basically saying, you want me to go to 2%? 3%? 4%? So you go to the world's wealthiest people. Bill Gates is too busy worried about trying to mandate vaccines for 3 months old. Bezos is trying to go to Mars. Bernard Arnault, the Louis Vuitton guy, is doing whatever he's doing. And Elon says, I'll do 1%. I think the everyday person who's being banned on Twitter, who's being suppressed by these maniacs, I think it's worth 1%. And here's the thing. He's not doing this to get wealthy. Money obviously doesn't motivate him. He sold all of his homes. He rents. He lives in like a pseudo RV in rural Texas, right outside of Austin. No, what motivates him is improving humanity. And he understands that if you're not able to speak, then it doesn't matter if you got electric cars and you could put things in your brain and you got solar panels everywhere. What good is all that? And Elon is now recognizing all of his accomplishments in the other realm are irrelevant if people can't talk. Look, everybody, I know you love freedom and you want to defend it. And I know you love the Constitution. It's a beautiful document, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives its undergraduate and graduate students the best education and is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support K through 12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's amazing free monthly digest of liberty. It's called Imprimis. Over 6 million households and businesses receive Imprimis for free each month. And you can join them by subscribing right now at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. There's no strings attached while you're there. Take an online course. Take their Aristotle course. Take their Winston Churchill course. Take their Western theology course. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible for Hillsdale to send you Imprimis for free. Imprimis is one of my favorite publications, and Imprimis means in the first place. It's short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this great digest of liberty and take an online course while you're at it. Enroll. Their Great American Story course is incredible. Visit charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Check it out right now, charlieforhillsdale.com. So Elon Musk is now Twitter's largest shareholder. Well over 9% of the company is now owned by Elon Musk. And now he has sent his first tweet. Now that he basically controls the company, he says, oh, hi, LOL, on Twitter. He says, quote, I'm worried about the de facto bias in the Twitter algorithm having a major effect on public discourse. How do we know what's really happening? Now, Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, has responded rather in a weak form, I should say. This was Elon Musk in a discussion with the Babylon Bee, where he talks about wokeism. He said, quote, at its heart, wokeness is divisive, exclusionary, and hateful. It basically gives people more of a reason. It gives them a shield to be mean, cruel, and armored in false virtue. And remember, Babylon Bee got censored from Twitter and kicked off. We got censored and kicked off. Then Tucker Carlson definitely got the attention of Elon Musk. Play cut two.
At its heart, wokeness is divisive, exclusionary, and hateful. It basically gives mean people a reason. It gives them a shield to be mean and cruel.
When's the last time you heard anyone with a net worth over $50 billion have the courage to say that? Well, Elon Musk has so much money, he just doesn't care. He has so much money that he's like, well, what are you going to do? Bankrupt me? Now, here's the interesting thing about the left that is losing their mind now that Elon Musk is taking over Twitter. And there's a lot of leftists that are just scrambling. And Elon Musk is too wealthy, too rich to cancel. And here's something to think about, is that the very same leftists that are pushing for electric vehicles everywhere have only made Elon Musk more powerful. The very same leftists, the very same Democrats that want subsidies for electric-run vehicles, they've created Elon Musk. So the world's wealthiest people goes Elon Musk, Bezos, Bernard Arnault, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Larry Page, Larry Ellison, Sergey Brin, Gautam Adani, Indian billionaire, and then Mukesh Ambani, another Indian billionaire. Then Steve Ballmer from Microsoft, and then Carlos Slim from Mexico. Out of that list, no one's going to do anything consequential except Elon, and he has. So he's speaking out, and he's saying that wokeism is a mind virus. This is why he's doing this. He's deploying 1% of his net worth, not because he thinks he's going to get magically rich, but he's done some deep thinking. He says, wait a second, if I'm really in the mission of trying to improve humanity, which he believes is through driverless cars and through electric vehicles and through Neuralink and through all of this. And I have plenty of problems with some of that stuff, trust me, especially Neuralink. I think it's wrong and it's creepy and it's a violation of the human sovereignty, but whatever. Elon is deciding, though, to use his resources in a moral and courageous way. What is the point of being rich if you can't live in a free country? What's the point of being fabulously wealthy over an unfree nation? I personally would rather have $1 million and live in a totally free country versus $5 or $10 million and live in some sort of authoritarian regime and be in charge. I think Elon is with me. When you go to countries like Brazil, which is not exactly an unfree country, but it's not safe like America's. It just isn't. It's becoming safer, but the rich, they drive around in armored cars. They're wealthy. They control things, but they're not free. I want to live in a country where my fellow countrymen is empowered to speak their mind first and foremost. And Elon knows, and this is one of the reasons why I think he's a fan of the Babylon Bee, that one of the most effective ways to go after wokeism is comedy and freedom of speech. So when the Babylon Bee got censored from Twitter, you could just start hearing the screaming from Menlo Park right now. You hear that? That is the screaming in the HR department of Twitter. Why did we have to ban Babylon Bee, you stupid idiots? You could have banned anybody, but you decided to ban the one Twitter account that Elon is now a fan of. Now we work for this guy. Cut 11, Elon continues, wokeism is a mind virus. The world's wealthiest man says it's arguably one of the greatest threats to modern civilization. Play cut 11.
Working on some of those problems, but the problem of wokeness specifically, you mentioned that's like a mind virus and it's destructive. And why do you think wokeness is so destructive?
Like wokeness basically wants to make comedy illegal, which is not cool.
We've experienced a bit of that.
I mean, Chappelle, like what the...
Flower bed.
I mean, try to shut down Chappelle? Come on, man. That's crazy.
Right.
It is a prevalent mind virus and arguably one of the biggest threats to modern civilization.
One of the greatest threats to modern civilization. So Elon had a choice to make. He could be the wealthiest person ever, have electric vehicles everywhere, but not live in a free country. Now, what's so interesting is that the media has helped create the mystique of Elon Musk. Remember, 2021 Person of the Year, Elon Musk? The richest man in the world does not own a house and has recently been selling off his fortune. He tosses satellites into orbit and harnesses the sun. He drives a car he created that uses no gas and barely needs a driver. With the flick of a finger, the stock market soars or swoons. An army of devotees hang on his every utterance. He dreams of Mars and bestrides Earth, square-jawed and indomitable. Lately, Elon Musk also likes to live-tweet his poops. Is that Time Magazine? Time Magazine Man of the Year 2021, Elon Musk. Now, here's another interesting part of this. Is that Elon taking over Twitter, Elon challenging all these orthodoxies, he's now keeping the elites guessing. What is he going to do next? What's the next company he's going to take over? because he just doesn't like what they're doing. What failing or floundering, irrelevant, CNN? Is Elon going to just buy CNN for sport and turn it into a museum of what used to be? He could. Is Elon going to just buy MSNBC? He could. He's richer than all of them. Buy Disney? That might, it's a little bit out of his grasp. It's a $250 billion company. But he could buy 10% of it, $25 billion. He could buy a controlling stake of Disney. You see, what Elon has done is he is now striking paranoia in the minds of the otherwise unchallenged ruling class. He's restoring balance in the force. He is restoring equilibrium to the land of the insane. And only he could do that. Only him. Only him. There's no other person, just the numbers-wise, who could dedicate 1% of their net worth and be the largest shareholder of Twitter. It's impossible. The numbers don't work. And this all happened in the last 24 hours. Elon bought his shares of Twitter today. It was made public in an SEC filing. It was done. Play cut at 18. This is how Elon Musk spends his time. Play cut 18.
You've got your finger in so many different advanced technologies. As I said, SpaceX, Tesla. Now you've got Solar City and the solar pack that people put in their houses. Are you sincerely trying to save the world?
I'm trying to do good things. Yeah, I mean, saving the world is not. I mean,
but you're trying to do good things, and you're a billionaire. I mean,
yeah.
That's
Stephen Colbert interviewing him. So, Elon getting involved in Twitter is a glitch in the regime's matrix. Understand that BlackRock, who controls all these companies, they don't own 100% of these woke companies. They often own 9%. And what it takes for us in the trenches to win is we need some air support. And that's exactly what Elon is delivering us. Now, the response is going to be scripted and predictable. People are going to say that Elon is going to turn Twitter into a place of hate speech. And it's not what it used to be. But we know what's really going on here. We know that if it wasn't for Elon's involvement in this company, there would be no check and balance. So we have checks and balances in government, or at least we're supposed to, fair and free elections. What's the check and balance in corporate America? Well, the check and balance is increasingly not being able to start a competitor. The way you start a competitor is you encourage the billionaires not to do this for business purposes, but for moral reasons. I want to reiterate that. Elon is not doing this to make money. Twitter's a failing company. This is a hobby and, dare I say, a moral crusade for Elon Musk. Someone says, okay, Charlie, Elon owns a big chunk of Twitter. Why spend so much time on this? Well, I mean, it's very obvious. This is the first defection from the ruling class that we have seen to substantially try and rebalance the corporate hierarchy in the fight for freedom of speech in my lifetime. This is the world's wealthiest man who's deciding that your concerns actually matter. This is the world's wealthiest man who's deciding that freedom of speech online is just as important as freedom of speech with the poster board in front of your state capitol. And I believe this is going to start a movement of other billionaires doing the same in lesser increments, smaller increments, I should say. Courage begets courage. It's going to take not just the everyday people rising up, but it's going to take some people with some significant resources to start to challenge this garbage that we are seeing. And if nothing else, just be neutral and take over these companies and take them away from the woke, tyrannical garbage that is plaguing our society. I think it's very admirable for someone that has more money than any other person ever to exist in the history of the world, not just to spend it on themselves, but to help us out. I'm banned from Twitter. This is a direct help to those of us that are trying to speak freely and reach millions of people. Elon is now the largest shareholder. He can combine his voting stake with others. We'll see what he'll be able to get done. And guess what? Elon can buy more if necessary, and he might. Hey, everybody. I want you to imagine, look how unpopular Joe Biden is now. What do you think his approval rating would be if we had a free Twitter? What do you think that, how do you think people would vote in November if we had free and open social media platforms? It's a real question. I want to explore that with you. Yeah, Joe Biden wouldn't be president. I think Elon knows that too. I think Elon, at a fundamental level, knows that he has a moral obligation to do this. Finally, someone with power is stepping up. The current regime is so dependent right now on censorship. Their entire power structure, the equation on how they're able to rule, is based on their ability to shut up voices like mine, shut up voices like Tucker Carlson, shut up voices that dare question their decisions. So this is bigger than just Elon helping out the commoner. This is bigger than an elite defecting. This is bigger than a person of power finally getting into the game. All of that is awesome, and all of that is good. And again, I'm making no judgments on Elon's business activities. I think some of what he's doing is fine. Some of it's pretty cool. Some of it is morally questionable. We can sort that out at a different time. It's completely irrelevant. What's relevant is, what is he doing with the fruits of that activity? What is he doing with the fruits of that activity? He's getting in the game, and he's starting to fight for something good. That is worthy of praise. It's worthy of public and repeated praise, because he doesn't have to be doing this. When people are doing something they don't have to do, that is something that is good for humanity, it takes pause and focusing on that. But understand that, let's play this out. If Musk is able to get a free Twitter ahead of the midterms, if Musk is able to rebuild Twitter for what it was, I mean, you're talking about, if you think that they have come after Musk before, I guarantee you this. You can mark this down. You'll be able to play this tape back just with my fertilizer prediction and many other things, which is, they are going to call for the suspension of government contracts with SpaceX. I guarantee it. Democrats will say, you keep this up on Twitter, you're not going to be able to have government contracts with SpaceX. Now, Elon Musk will say, so what? I'll just do it anyway. I think he's so innovative, so visionary, so smart, so creative. I think he'll be able to do it no matter what. But you have to understand that and I've listened to a lot of Elon, and I've studied him for a while, by no means an expert, but I've probably listened to over 200 hours of his interviews, and I have a pretty good idea kind of how he views the world. He believes, through all these different kind of pieces, the solar panels, the electric vehicles, the Neuralink, the Boring Company, that all of these will kind of work in harmony to try to improve humanity. I think that's overly simplistic, idealistic, somewhat dangerous at times, but that's the way he views the world. But he's justifying this now 1% asset transfer to take over Twitter as, none of that will matter. The electric vehicles, the solar panels, the Boring Company underneath the surface, all of that will be irrelevant if millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of people are not able to speak their mind. If creativity is stunted, if people are not able to communicate the way they want, if comedy is dead, then what good are all of those engineering and mechanical breakthroughs if we are actually becoming less free and digressing, or should I say regressing, on the other side? I think Elon wants to leave a positive legacy. I think Elon realizes that speech is a first freedom, that we are the speaking beings. And if you cannot speak freely online, then it puts the entire program at risk. Keep your eye on this story. This is going to develop for days, months, and years to come. You'll remember this day and this story. It's that big of a deal. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.